This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Increasingly, it seems the Bush administration's foreign policy is running into trouble. The post-war picture in Iraq and Afghanistan is highly unstable. The roadmap to peace in the Middle East is in tatters. There's growing unease over the possibility that North Korea and Iran are pursuing nuclear weapons. Friends of the United States are not supportive. Overall, the policies of the United States are still very unpopular around the world. The Bush Doctrine, a preference for unilateral military action and a disdain for multinational diplomacy, is under scrutiny more than ever, NPR's Mike Schuster reports.
President Bush's approach to foreign policy has been nothing less than groundbreaking. That is the view of many experts, including Ivo Dalder, co-author of the just-published America Unbound, The Bush Revolution in Foreign Policy. The president's preferences for unfettered and, when necessary, preemptive American action, the use of America's military might, and the daring to change foreign governments viewed as dangerous to the United States. In that, Ivo Dalder finds much to admire, especially the president's bold vision and decisiveness. But, says Dalder, those policies are failing.
The problem with the Bush Revolution is that it has misunderstood the world we live in. And it is the reality of that world that is now coming foursquare in contact and in some sense overwhelming that very revolution.
In recent weeks, the president and his administration seem to acknowledge that when they chose to return to the United Nations to seek international support and a Security Council seal of approval for the American occupation in Iraq. But the compromises the U.S. was willing to make have been minimal, and although the Security Council voted unanimously yesterday to support another U.S. resolution on Iraq, it appears that little will change. Recently, the president and key advisers made public speeches that seem to underscore they are sticking to the principles that have gotten them this far, despite a chorus of criticism from around the world. This is President Bush speaking in New Hampshire.
Our security will not be gained by timid measures. Our security requires constant vigilance and decisive action. I believe America has only one option. We must fight this war until our work is done.
Vice President Cheney elaborated on the administration's approach a day later in a speech to the Heritage Foundation in Washington.
Terrorist enemies of our country hope to strike us with the most lethal weapons known to man. And it would be reckless in the extreme to rule out action and save our worries until the day they strike. And as long as George W. Bush is president of the United States, this country will not permit gathering threats to become certain tragedies.
One of the key assumptions of the Bush foreign policy is that if the U.S. believes it is right and uses its strength to carry out policies, other nations, both friends and enemies, will be forced to follow, even if they disagree. That is a misreading of how nations act, says John Mearsheimer, author of The Tragedy of Great Power Politics.
I think there's no question that they misunderstand how power is used and what the consequences are of using military power. And that is why the United States is in so much trouble on the foreign policy front today.
The Bush administration believed that other nations, even adversaries, would be forced to jump on the American bandwagon. Mearsheimer says instead, nations have joined forces to balance against the U.S.
The Iraq case shows that states balance, they don't bandwagon. The administration advertised before the attack that by attacking Iraq and knocking off Saddam Hussein, we would put North Korea and Iran on notice that they were next, and they therefore would cut back on their pursuit of nuclear weapons. In fact, exactly the opposite has happened.
At least some leaders in both North Korea and Iran appear to have decided that the way to avoid Iraq's fate is to acquire nuclear weapons as a deterrent against possible attack. In order to confront these challenges, the Bush administration has been forced, unwillingly it seems, to seek help from other nations and try the multilateral route. Through six-party talks on North Korea and pressure from the much-maligned International Atomic Energy Agency on Iran. It is an approach that many in the administration, including Vice President Cheney, view with obvious distaste.
The United States is committed to multilateral action wherever possible. Yet this commitment does not require us to stop everything and neglect our own defense merely on the say-so of a single foreign government. Ultimately, America must be in charge of her own national security.
Although much has been made of the Bush administration's endorsement of preemptive action to thwart imminent threats to the security of the United States, it seems safe to say now that without the presence of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, that was not the nature of the U.S. war there. Johns Hopkins professor Michael Mandelbaum agrees. He's the author of The Ideas That Conquered the World, Peace, Democracy, and Free Markets in the 21st Century. Because the threat was not imminent, he says, public support for the ongoing U.S. operation in Iraq may not last.
This was a war of choice and not a war of necessity. I think that means that the public willingness to support the enterprise over a long period of time with blood and treasure is more limited than it would be had this been a war of necessity.
National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice characterized the ouster of Saddam Hussein similarly in a speech earlier this month, her speech in Chicago being the first salvo in a now ongoing administration campaign to shore up public support.
When people say you have to wait until the threat is imminent, how do you know when that is, given what we experienced on September 11th? He was a threat. He needed to be dealt with. It's, I think, not a preemptive action, but whatever you want to say about whether it is or is not, this problem had been there too long, and it was time to take care of it.
Still, the faulty intelligence on Iraq itself has undermined the administration's ability to pursue its own policies, says Ivo Dalder.
If it turns out that you fight a war and launch a war of choice, and the intelligence information that you were using publicly and privately to justify that war was wrong, as it appears to be the case in Iraq, our ability to justify preemptive action in the next case, when perhaps the intelligence information is better or more accurate, will be undermined.
Despite all this, Michael Mandelbaum believes that the overthrow of Saddam Hussein, as with the destruction of al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, has made the U.S. safer, even if it has alienated allies and friends.
The international community as a whole was never going to endorse a war against Iraq. Moreover, I think that the international community was never going to send troops in serious numbers or money in serious amounts because they didn't regard it as being as grave a threat as the United States did.
There is one other factor that experts point to in faulting the Bush administration's foreign policy, especially in Iraq. Because the Bush team insisted on the benevolence of the U.S. war in Iraq, because they see the current phase as liberation and not occupation, John Mearsheimer, who teaches at the University of Chicago, says they underestimate the role of nationalism in Iraq.
The Bush administration seemed to think that we, the United States, could create an empire in the Middle East. We could occupy Iraq for some long period of time because we were a benevolent empire. But the fact of the matter is that people in the developing world never view empires as benevolent. They always view them as malign because people do not like the idea of others telling them how to run their business.
Because of this perception on the part of the Bush administration, the U.S. may not be able to make the corrections necessary to turn a troubled post-war Iraq into an American success. That's why, according to Ivo Dalder, U.N. involvement and a broader international role are not just fig leaves, but necessary conditions for turning Iraq around.
To the extent that the occupation is regarded by Iraqis as an American occupation, which lacks international legitimacy, opposition to that occupation, and therefore the difficulty of staying the course, will increase. Because it is us acting alone, it is becoming more difficult for us to achieve the objectives that we try to achieve in Iraq and elsewhere.
To be sure, much can still happen in Iraq, in the Middle East, and in the war against terrorism. The administration may well succeed in the long run where its current policies look like they are in trouble. If it doesn't succeed, the revolution in foreign policy that President Bush brought about will almost certainly be seen as, in large part, the cause of the failure. Mike Schuster, NPR News, Los Angeles.